which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. All right, just two verses this morning. And we're on our letter K under concerning counsel. This is counsel concerning paths, P-A-T-H-S, paths. There are two paths. There are two paths. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way. There's a wide gate and there is a narrow gate. And if you get nothing else this morning, get this. There's only two gates. All right, this is not profound. It's not rocket science. There are only two gates. There's only two paths. There's many roads that lead to heaven. No, there's only two gates. One of them leads to heaven. One of them leads to hell. And there's no third option. There is no third place. Everybody in the world right now, everybody alive right now is on one of two paths. They're on a wide path, and we'll talk about that wide path in just a moment. They're on a wide path that leads to destruction, or they're on a straight or a narrow path that leads to life. And Jesus made it very clear that there are only two ways. There is a right way and a wrong way. All right, there's no gray area. We like to say, well, that's a gray area. No, there's no gray areas. There's a right way and a wrong way. There is a good path and there is an evil path. And you don't have to be an evil person to be on the evil path. You just have to be ignoring the good path. There are a lot of good people that are on the evil path. Because the path is not determined by our behavior. The path is determined by the way that the Lord set. And so there's a good and there's a road that leads to heaven, a road that leads to hell. There's a road for the saints and a road for the sinners. All right, there's only two. In everything we think of, light and darkness, God, godly and ungodly, there are two paths. And that's what Jesus is making clear. Look, if you would, back at Jeremiah chapter 21 in verse number 8. There's a couple verses. Jeremiah wrote some things that are similar along the lines of what the Lord's talking about in these two verses. In Jeremiah chapter 21 and verse number 8, Jeremiah said, And unto this people thou shalt say, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. All right, in Jeremiah chapter 21 verse 8, the way of life and the way of death. There's only two ways. So Jesus, when he tells us there's a straight way and there is a wide way, he's telling us the same thing that the Lord said through Jeremiah. There's only two paths. The question is, which path are we on? Which path do we want to be on? Which path do we want our friends and neighbors and loved ones and co-workers to be on? Well, then we influence them on which path to be on. Most of them, the majority of people we'll see this morning, most of them are on the wrong path. We need to be traffic control people that are directing them onto the right path. They're looking at us to direct them in the right direction. You see those busy intersections in New York City or somewhere where the guy has to get out there and direct the traffic, and if he wasn't out there, you know what it'd be? It'd be utter chaos. Everybody'd be doing their own thing, and it'd be a catastrophe. But with him directing the traffic, everything works right. You and I are that traffic controlman that are trying to get people on the right way. They're on the wrong road. We're trying to get them on the right road. So there are two paths. Which one? Which one is the one that we're trying to get on? The Lord's going to reiterate this kind of. Look in here in Matthew chapter 7 down at verse 24. We'll get there in the near future. Jesus said verse 24. I will liken him, the end of the verse, to a man which hath built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house and it fell, for it was not founded on a rock. And everyone that heareth these things of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Notice in this story Jesus gives, there's only two options. You're built upon the rock, you're built upon sand. There is no third foundation. So in everything Jesus is giving to us, he's making it very clear. Very clear. There's only two ways. There's only two ways. Many paths that lead to heaven? Absolutely not. Modern day man-made philosophy. Ignorant of the Word of God. There are two paths. One to heaven and one to hell. So let's look at this in verse 13 and 14 this morning. Counsel concerning or about paths. Number one, notice the command. The command is this in verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate. Now here's what I appreciate about the Lord. We're not good sometimes, let's be honest. We're not good in our human nature at decision making. If I were to ask you, how many of you have ever made a wrong or bad decision? The only wrong bad decision would be if you didn't raise your hand and admit it. All right, we've all made wrong and bad decisions to one degree or another. I appreciate the Lord gives us two options and then tells us which one to take. He takes the decision out of our hands. He makes the decision for us. He says there are two roads. There's a straight one and there's a wide one. And he says in verse 13, enter ye in at the straight gate. The Lord's command is for everybody to get on that straight and narrow road. When someone chooses to stay on the broad road, when someone chooses to stay on the, they're disobeying the command of Jesus Christ. And when you disobey the command of Jesus Christ, you better have your hard hat on. Because it's going to be rough. In this life, and then in eternity. And so the Lord gives a command. He says, enter ye in at the straight gate. The problem is, most people don't like the Lord telling them what to do. Isn't that just the truth? You've witnessed to people, no Bible, no church, no preacher, nobody's going to tell me how to live my life. I'm just content to let the devil tell me. Now, they don't say that part, but that's eventually what they're saying. I'm not going to let God dictate to my life. Well, God says, all right, I'm giving you the command, enter in at the straight gate. And some say, I'm not going to do it because nobody's going to tell me what to do, not even God. Well, then when you receive and reap for the decisions you've made, don't blame God. Because the God that said, enter in at the straight gate, said it not only to restrict us, but to protect us. He knows what happens at the end of the straight gate, so he says, walk on this one. He knows what happens at the end of the broad gate, so he doesn't want us to walk on that one. And when man chooses to walk the path he wants to walk, and not the one God tells him to walk, then he can't turn around and blame God for his eternal destiny when it's all said and done. The Lord said, enter in at the straight gate. Notice small letter A in the command, the direction. The direction. And the Bible says in verse 13, enter ye in at the straight gate. The straight gate. I want you to notice something. Does your eye pick this up? Look at the word straight. Is that how you spell it? Is that how we spell it? S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T is how we spell it, don't we? Do you know the word straight, the way it's spelled here, is in the Bible 10 times? And the word straight, S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T, is in the Bible 28 times? So this is not just an old-fashioned spelling. There are two different words that mean two different things. Because if they were the same word, they'd always be spelled the same way, the same time. Now, the word straight, the word straight, S-T-R-A-I-T, means a narrow passage or area. A narrow passage or area. You say, is that old archaic English? Well, I don't know. Do you take geography class? Have you ever heard of the Straits of Magellan? The passage in South America that goes from the Atlantic to the Pacific so they don't have to go all the way. It's called S-T-R-A-I-T. What does that mean? A narrow passage. It's like a canal, the Panama Canal. It's a strait. There's the straits. There's, I think, three different ones. I looked up and I don't remember the others. I'm not good at geography. But that's what a strait is. It's a narrow passage. S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T, you know what that means. That means a straight line. All right? So they're not the same thing. But when the Bible says this strait, it's telling us we need to take that narrow We need to take that passage that is restricting and confining. It's not the broad road. It's not the wide road. It's the straight, which means a narrow area or passage. God's commands and God's direction usually keep us in the narrow path. It's when we get off the narrow path that we get ourselves in trouble. It's when we get off of that narrow area of the commands of God that we put ourselves in danger. Can we say this? Many a Christian has gotten off that narrow path, just stepped over the line and wandered out just a little bit, and come back regretting it. Because the Lord said, enter in at that straight gate, that narrow path. So that's the direction. Small letter B, the difficulty. The narrow path is the difficult one. It's a lot easier to go on the wide path. A lot more room on the wide path. But Jesus said, enter in on the straight one. In Luke chapter 13 and verse 24, the Lord is teaching this same lesson. It's not at the same time. It's not the Sermon on the Mount in Luke 13. But in Luke chapter 13 and verse 24, Jesus says here, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Strive to enter in. The word strive indicates that it's not necessarily an easy thing to do. Things that you have to strive for mean you have to put some effort into. Now, he's not talking about a salvation by works. He's simply talking about this, that it is sometimes difficult to stay on that narrow road. The allurement to get off of that narrow road can be pretty great. The temptation to get off that narrow road can be pretty strong. And every day of our lives, the devil is spending his time trying to get us off that narrow road. By the way that we live our lives, by the things that we do, by the things that we say, by the things that we see, the devil's determined to get us off that narrow road. And the Lord says that we're to stay on that road. It's not necessarily easy. We have to have an earnest desire. That's what strive means. Have an earnest desire to stay on that narrow road. A lot of folks try church for a while, but it's too restricting. It's too narrow. And the Lord said we are to stay on that straight gate. Sometimes on that narrow road, there's obstacles. I'm reminded of the story of Balaam and his donkey. And the donkey is going through a narrow passage, and there's hedges on both sides, a hedge and a wall. And the donkey sees the angel of the Lord with a sword drawn in front of him. Balaam doesn't see him, but the donkey does. That says a lot about Balaam right there. The animal sees something he doesn't, and the donkey goes to the right and goes to the left and crushes Balaam's feet against the wall, against the hedge, as he's on the back. Because there's a narrow road and there's something blocking it. There's an obstacle up there. Many times in that narrow road, there's obstacles that we have to get over and get through. But we don't want to step outside of the narrow path to get around the obstacles. We want to ask the Lord to remove them. We want to ask the Lord to give us the strength to step over them. But we want to stay on that narrow way. It's always worth the effort. Strive. It's always worth the effort to stay on the narrow way. Don't get sidetracked. Don't get off on other things. So that's the command. Number two, the contrasts. The contrast. The Lord is going to describe the characteristics of the two paths, or the character of the two paths. They are a contrast. They are different as night and day. The narrow path and the wide path are not similar. They're as different as night and day are. They don't look the same. They don't lead the same direction. They are two contrasting paths. Notice small letter A, the wrong path. The wrong path. Wide is the gate. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go which go in thereat. That's the wrong path. There are two paths, the wrong path and the right path. Here's the wrong one. It's wide, it's broad, and many go in it. Notice the three descriptions the Lord gives us, the character of this wrong path. Number one, under the wrong path, it is easy. It is easy. While the narrow path was difficult, the wide path is easy. Everybody's on it. It's a golden path. It's an easy path. Everybody's there to pat you on the back. Everybody's there enjoying the trip on the same direction. You won't make any enemies when you're on the wide path. You'll get along with everybody when you're on the wide path because you put up with everything. You tolerate everything. You don't judge anything. Everybody's on the... Can I tell you today, our society is on a wide path? An all-inclusive. Come as you are. Isn't that the big expression? Come as you are and leave as you are. No change is necessary. All roads lead to heaven. Come and join us on this wide path. The wrong path is easy to get on because it's wide. It's easier to get on the wide path than it is on the narrow path. And so everybody's getting on that same path. Anyone can get in. Doesn't matter how you live. Doesn't matter what you believe. Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. Doesn't matter if you're male or female. Doesn't even matter if you don't know if you're male or female. On that wide road that leads to destruction, everybody's welcome to join in. And so it's an easy path. Number two, it's deceitful. It's deceitful. Just because everybody's on it doesn't make it right. Just because everybody's going that way doesn't make it the way it should. You know what? The wide path looks attractive. The wide path looks good. The wide path, can we say it this way from a human standpoint, makes sense. You've got one life, live it to the full. And on that wide path, you can have anything, you can do anything, you can be anybody. You can believe anything you want to, and you're all together on that wide path. And that's a description of society. Not just society today, but society 2,000 years ago. Society all the way back to Noah's day, where wide was the path. And there was a lot of folks getting on it. It's a deceitful path. It's deceitful because it presents itself as being fun. You see all the commercials. You see all the advertisements. And the wicked, sinful, ungodly life is the happy life. That's the way it's portrayed. It's the fun life. Everybody's drinking. Everybody's dancing. Everybody's smiling. That's deceitful. Because that's not the way it is. That's not the way real life is portrayed. That's the way advertisers portray it. Remember the old Marlboro man? That big old bulk of a man sitting on the back of the horse? They never showed him with emphysema. They never showed him with lung disease. No, they always portray sin as the big, strong, everything. The pictures of Seagram 7 or whatever the whiskey might be. It's the woman in the sleek negligee or the people out there having fun and doing all these different things. They don't show the after effects of that. They don't show broken homes. They don't show cirrhosis of the liver. They don't show a vile and mean spirit. The wide road is a deceitful road because it wants everybody to be on it regardless of how you behave, how you act, how you feel, what you think, what you believe. It doesn't matter. Just get on the wide road. And the wide road is deceitful because many times it's made to look attractive. It's the broad road, the deceitful road. It says broad is the way. You hear about artists, well, I paint with broad strokes. You know what that means? It's big. It's inclusive. It's not restrictive. And that's the way the wide road is. And people like the wide road because it's not restrictive. Do anything you feel like doing. Say anything you feel like saying. Go anywhere you feel like going. That's the wide road. So it's easy, it's deceitful. Number three, it is popular. And many there be which go in thereat. Many. It's the popular road. It's the road where all your friends are. It's the road of the actors and the athletes, the musicians, the Hollywood crowd. That's the wide road, and boy, does it look good. There's a lot of people on that road. Our society sets the wrong people up as role models. We put the wrong people on a pedestal. And then the younger people, younger generations want to follow that person on that wide road that leads to destruction. Because they want to believe, well, that person that I've idolized, that person that I think so much of, he or she is not on the narrow road. Why should I have to be on it? And many there be which go in thereat. That's where all the cool people are, on the wide road. That's where all the popular kids are, on the wide road. The things that they do, the places they go, the music they listen to, the movies they watch, that's all the cool stuff. And that's the majority of the people around us. When you're on a narrow road, it's a lot different from being on a wide road. And the wide road is the wrong path, Jesus said, because it's easy, it's deceitful, and it's popular. Then letter B, the right path. The right path. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You know what the problem is? If you're going to choose a path, you're naturally going to choose the wider one. Something has to move you to choose the narrow path. And that something, of course, is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest thing that can happen to a person when they get saved is not care about being on the wide road anymore. Is rejoicing on being on the narrow road. Not feeling like they have to be swayed by the majority. Not have to taking the easy way all the time. Not falling for the deceitful way. But staying on that right path. The wide, it's the wide and the broad versus the straight and the narrow. The wide path appeals to our flesh. The narrow path appeals to our spirit. Our spirit really desires the narrow path. Our spirit wants to be told right from wrong. Our spirit wants to obey God. It's the flesh that gives us problems. And it's the flesh that the wide road appeals to. That's why we come to church. That's why we get under the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. That's why we read our Bibles daily at home. Because we need that inner man to be strengthened. If not, we're going to follow the flesh that's on the wide. We're surrounded by it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And it's alluring, and it's appealing. And it's a lot more, quote unquote, fun. And so we have to be determined to stay on that right path. We've got to obey the command of Jesus, enter ye in at the straight gate. We saw three characteristics of the wrong path. It was easy, it's deceitful, it's popular. Notice two characteristics of the right path. Number one, and we've said this already, it is hard. It is hard to stay on the narrow path. Don't try to explain it away. Don't try to defend it. Just say it honestly. The narrow path is restricting. All right? The narrow path is restricting. No, I can't go there. No, I can't do that with you. No, I can't whatever it is. The thou shalt nots are the signposts of the narrow road. The thou shalt nots are what keep us in the narrow way. The commands of God keep us in the, while everybody else is on that broad, wide road, running as fast as they can to the end. We're walking on that narrow road. And it's going to make us stand out from everybody else that's around us. So it's a hard, it's restricting, it's restraining. It holds us back from doing some things that everybody else is doing. Now listen, if everybody else is doing it, it doesn't make it wrong. But if everybody else is doing it, it still doesn't make it right. We have to take every situation before the Lord. We have to ask Him for His permission. Lord, is this okay? See, those on the wide road don't have to do that. They don't have to ask anybody if it's okay. They don't have to ask for permission. They don't have to consider, what does God have to say about this? They don't have to worry, what will be my testimony if I do this or don't do it? On the wide road, none of those things matter. It's a loose life. It's loose living. But on the narrow road, it's different. It might be restricting, it might be restraining, and these letters are not on the outline, but it is right. It is the right path. And in the end, it'll be worth staying on the right path. In the end, when that wide road leads to where it leads and everybody is going in thereat, you'll be thankful you were on the narrow road. Sometimes in life, we might not be overjoyed that we're on the narrow road. But when it's all said and done, we'll be glad. So it's hard. Number two, the right path, not only is it hard, but in contrast to the wrong road, it is unpopular. It is unpopular. Few there be that find it. Few there be that find it. The right path is not the popular path. Can I say it this way? There has never been a moral majority. All right, and that's not a slam on the 1980s or any of that stuff. But there really never has. America does not have a moral majority. There's a moral minority. And that moral minority, their voice is being silenced. And they're not treated as a minority. But we are, it's not the popular route. It's not the voices. There's few there be that find it. When you go into the political realm, there are more that are anti-God than pro-God. When you go into the entertainment industry, there are many more that are anti-God than are... We pick out the few that are pro-God, and we understand that, but we understand that's the minority. It is unpopular to be on God's side. It is unpopular to be on... And so if you're going to be on the narrow road, you just got to write it down, all right? It's going to be hard. It'll be a lot easier to step over onto that wide road. It's going to be unpopular. I'd be much more popular if I could be in that all-inclusive wide road. It's unpopular. Look again, if you would, at Jeremiah chapter 15. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 15 and 16. Those are not the right verses. Those are great verses. O Lord, Thou knowest, remember me and visit me, revenge me of my persecutors, take me not away in Thy long suffering. I know that for Thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and Thy word was to the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by Thy name, O Lord God of hosts. That's there. Okay, verse 17. I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone. I sat alone because of Thy hand. All right, notice this one that hungered after the words of God in verse 15. Thy words were found and I did eat them. That person said in verse 17, and I sat alone. If you're on the narrow way, if you're hungering after the things of God, the words of God, the people of God, the church of God, understand you're going to sit alone. Because it's a minority position. It is unpopular in the world today. Even in churches, sometimes it's unpopular to talk about sin, death, hell. But those are road signs on the narrow way. So we have the unpopular. Then thirdly, number one, the command. Number two, the contrast. Number three, the conclusions. The conclusions. Here's what it is. To walk on the wide road is to be short-sighted. Looking at the present. Looking at right now. This is fun. This is exciting. This is where all the people are. This is where they're all doing what they want to do. Nobody can tell them what to do. They're going to do what they want to do. And they're short-sighted. They're focusing on what's right here and not looking at the end. Jesus said, small letter A, the conclusion of the wrong path, it leadeth to destruction. The wrong path leadeth to destruction. You know what destruction is? It's loss. Destruction means it's the end. You lose everything. That's what destruction is. Again, studying the book of Revelation, the destruction of Babylon. When Babylon goes down, everybody's mourning over the loss of that which was so valuable and so attractive and so popular. And the broad way leads to destruction. Not the end of life, but the end of enjoyable life. What did Jesus say to that man that said, now that I'm so wealthy, I'll build bigger barns? He said, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow thou shalt die. And who shall these things be? That enjoyable life's going to come to an end. And then letter B, the conclusion of the right path, it leadeth unto life. See, the wide path is popular and fun and painted with broad strokes and everybody's on it and they're all having a good time. All going to be where their buddies are. And it leads to loss. But the narrow road leads to life. Now to be far-sighted, which path is be better to be on? The one that lasts for... I mean, you get on that wide, broad road and really enjoy the wide road to its fullest, your lifespan will be short. When you enjoy that wide road to its fullest. A lot of people restrain themselves a little bit and they get a little farther down that road, maybe 70, 80, 90 years. But still at the end of it, the Bible says it leads to destruction. But on that narrow road, last Sunday we had Mario Shadina here and his wife Emily. Yesterday they had the funeral for Emily's dad up in Canton. 57 years old, dropped dead of a heart attack, but a Christian man, a godly man. And at the end of life, you know, the end of that narrow road, you know what's there? Life. Then you take some other guy that might live another 10, 20, 30 years, but a life on the wide road. He better cherish those 30 years. He better enjoy them to their fullest because it's all he's going to have. Because at the end thereof, it leadeth to destruction. So Jesus makes the decision. There's two roads, and he commands us, enter ye in at the straight gate. All right, his counsel concerning paths. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the instruction it gives us. Lord, thank you for the reality that it presents to us. And Lord, so many times it's tempting.